two-second summary, what we've been studying is names and putting names together to make sentences, and how that all that words are a conspiracy that everybody agrees to, that a certain ugh or mm or some sound that you can make means that, but it doesn't mean that. And certain little scribbles on the paper mean this, but they don't mean that. And so that process of what all the implications of this conspiracy will make your brain hurt. And so you need to listen to this first tape, because I'm not going to go over everything. Okay? Now, what we said, that the fall couldn't have occurred until God told Adam to name everything. And once he named everything, then it was possible to think of the past and future, and therefore it was possible for the fall to happen. And without the use of names, you can't think of the past and you can't think of the future. Therefore, planning is impossible. Therefore, if you didn't have the aspect of names, you would take no thought for yourself. You would take no thought for tomorrow automatically. So when a child becomes aware that everything has a name, to man he's made the greatest discovery. To God, he has fallen. And ancient people thought that the name was part of the thing named, and that one could control the thing by the use of the name. And there's all kinds of magic incantations, and shaman use this, and if the people believed they could, then they could. And so the shaman's power was based on that. But it was based on spectacular events where the shaman could predict that if you don't do this, exactly what I tell you to, I'm going to darken the sun. And he'd play that up, right, because he knew from the study of the stars when there was going to be an eclipse. Or I'll make the moon half dark just to show you that my power is total. You can imagine what would happen to some.
It sounds like W.V. Grant's forecast for 94.
Yeah, right.
There will be scandals in government.
Yeah. There'll be an earthquake somewhere.
The cost of living will rise.
There'll be crime. Now, again, as I said, the ancient people tried to manipulate the thing named by using the name as a mantra. Well, it's the same thing that modern Christians do with the name of Jesus. They try to manipulate Jesus using the name Jesus.
The name scriptures, too.
Or,
we stand in agreement by John
4:18. Yeah. You understand? All of our greatest philosophers and Bible scholars for 2,000 years now have spoke of the mindset of being aware of ideas, of being with introspection, of looking within. And the philosophers and thinkers that we think are the greatest are the ones that have encouraged the society to do that, to become, to know yourself, to look within, to somehow control self. And those are the people that the age of this last 2,000 years that society has given pundits and awards if they could articulate the best way for you to become aware of yourself. And it's time we broke that mindset. And the mindset that we must come to, without sounding religious, is abandon yourself. Take no thought for yourself. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And in that context, we break through and declare to the world and the devil that we no longer need these tools of manipulation called names, because we can come into a place where we no longer need the awareness of self for sustenance. And that's what our calling is as a people. That true freedom isn't self-knowledge. True freedom isn't to try to control the physical causations. True freedom is to not even see the physical, to see through to the spiritual, no matter what the situation is, that we never again have to move to try to change circumstances. We move through the circumstances to see the spirit. We look not at the things that are seen. We become see-throughers, no longer see-outers. That way we are no longer controlled by the conspiracy of language that we are all part of for the last 2,000, well, throughout history. Understand? To take no thought for yourself, to take no thought for tomorrow, to take no thought for what you will wear, to take no thought for the things you will eat. That's freedom. And to see through, to see God in everything. That's where the Holy Spirit wants to take us. Now, the only way we can do that is to that we are anchored in that we know it's finished. And that faith says, I can see through everything to see Him. And that's a biggie. And that's the only reason. That's what, if Christ shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. That is the only freedom. Man has searched for thousands of years for freedom in controlling of the physical. Now let's say, excuse my French, fuck the physical. We're looking through it and seeing spirit.
It just occurred to me that God had Adam name the things, and then He created the Eve.
Right.
So Adam knew. Adam lived in a time when there wasn't language, when there wasn't self-awareness, when there wasn't separation. All Eve knew was language and separation.
Right.
So Eve, it would make sense that Eve would think that that's the way it's supposed to be. It would make sense that we're in the position we're in where we think it's the way it's supposed to be, and it's almost impossible to conceive that there's a state
without that awareness.
A more primary state than that.
Right.
But it's not necessary.
You cannot believe the battles that we had in stealth. When I first started teaching that the meaning of the cross was, and the meaning of deny yourself, was to abandon yourself, to take no thought about yourself. I mean, you can't believe her dad and John Rutledge. Oh, that's bullshit all. Yeah, that can't be right. You remember that?
Yeah, vaguely. A lot of arguments.
Many arguments. But the idea that a body of people now believe that that is a desirable state is an incredible miracle. I mean, you go down the street and say somebody to abandon yourself, taking no thought for yourself at all, is desirable, and say what?
Say, you crazy man?
That's right.
When did Adam know he had a name?
Point that God told him to name.
Name himself.
He had to name himself.
But I sit here, you know, and I can feel this thing struggling against this. And it just doesn't want to, it does not want to even conceive that language, that this stuff isn't necessary, that there's a way other than this way. It doesn't want to.
I talked a little bit about this, with another way of getting of faking out this conspiracy, and that is in your prayer language is speaking in tongues, because in speaking in tongues the evil one has no idea what the hell's going on. He just saying
what,
and that's why there's so much resistance against speaking in tongues by the intellect, because he loses his control over you. The moment you begin to use tongues as a prayer language. Can you hear that? And so if there's nothing else that would give you the desire for the baptism of the Spirit or to speak in tongues, this should. Now, the two systems of signs or names which men believe free them from the physical. The two agramental systems of signs are language and money. We talked about this. Language is the currency of thought, and money is the language of trade. Neither one of them have any intrinsic purpose. Neither one of them have any intrinsic value. Language has no intrinsic value, nor does money. It's only a currency to be used and manipulated. But if you give it breath, then money is the language of the trader, but it's the merchandise of the miser. Language is the money of the wise, but it's the goods of the fool. Once you give breath to either money or language, then you're locked into the trap. Once you give breath to security, security by definition is mammon, by definition is money, the thing you have confidence in. Once you give breath to it, then you're locked. You've literalized the parable, and the Antichrist is one. Same with language.
Some of us did both at the same time.
That's right.
Really?
Now, the meaning of a name isn't mysterious. It's just whatever men agree it to be. There's nothing mysterious. And you know, I used to have any of you ever played Scrabble with me?
Yeah.
Huh?
Never again, but I used to.
Well, I mean, I was a word merchant. I loved words and the meaning of words because early on in life, I recognized that words and money were power. And I used to have a great, huge interest in power. But once I saw, and that's why Scrabble, it's like the manipulation of words. And like Bloom is 10 times brighter than I am. He's 50 times better vocabulary than I am, but he couldn't beat me. I would slaughter him in Scrabble, and he'd get so mad, he'd throw the Scrabble board at me.
It's infuriating.
Huh?
It's infuriating.
Yeah, well, you got pretty mad yourself.
Absolutely, I won't play it.
Hey.
It's just,
he took his blocks
won't
in
do
the
it.
Yeah. That's right.
I have a really good vocabulary, and you kick my ass every time we play Scrabble. I don't like it. Just you do some four-letter word and score 150 points. Period. No fun.
I think it's a lot of fun.
I know.
You're like poker, Jackie.
Anyway,
as you were talking, you know, it just occurred to me. It's like 6 months ago. If I had made the noises Beavis and Butthead, it would be totally meaningless. But now you make those noises and everybody that hears it knows there's something, there's a thing there.
Yeah.
Or Madonna, you know, John Wayne Bobbitt. They all have energy. They all have life.
They all have a feeling.
Yeah, you know, that's the thing I was thinking about.
New stuff.
Remember we talked about four dimensions, about languages, you have space, the fourth dimension, because with language you control time. Well, I just found out, there's another dimension. There's the fifth dimension.
This just in.
This is the dawn.
This is just in. There's the three dimensions of space, breadth, height, and width. Then there's the two dimensions of time and space.
Huh?
Huh?
One dimension.
I mean, excuse me, the one dimension of time, but time and space in that
right.
Continuum. But the fifth dimension is value or emotional impact. And you have to see that words have that impact.
And that's incredibly relative, right? You say Pearl Harbor to a Japanese woman, it's one thing, another thing to a 50-year-old.
Anyway, do you understand? There's the three dimensions of space, there's time, and then there's value. And there's five dimensions that you communicate when you speak. And the only reason that Mike can he doesn't communicate well from the value standpoint, and the reason is his mindset. It has to do with his office in the body, but in the world, it has to do with the idea that he likes precision. Well, mathematics and science take value and emotion out of language. And so it makes one who is in that mindset an emotional blob. Is that good?
Devoid. Lacking. Defective.
Oblivious to habits.
Hall.
But because you like your mindset likes the precision, the illusion of precision that mathematics and science gives you.
That's why you have artists who just like throw stuff on a canvas. I mean, to them, it's just emotion. It's just giving.
Right, and that's the fifth dimension.
Yeah, they can't add and subtract it.
Do you understand a little bit? All right.
Yes, some of them can. Like Leonardo.
That's a gross journal.
No.
I was going to say Dolly.
I mean, his stuff is incredibly mathematically precise.
Yeah.
But I've seen film of him painting where he just took the brush and didn't even look. He'd just go like this.
But even that's technical.
Okay. Well, in terms of perspective, right, he's the one that established perspective and painting.
Yeah.
Anyway.
All right. This next thing, this thing, independently existing things, physical things, are named whatever man agreed to name them. You understand that? That's a hairy.
Sure is.
Okay.
Could have been named something.
Now, ways of speaking and emphasis and emotional impact of the ways of speaking mislead the fools. If you are offended in the way someone speaks to you with regard to their gestures, it means that you can be manipulated by someone that appeals to you. Now, this is one of the things that made Hitler such an incredible speaker. And he could move audiences because he recognized that most men are fools, and he appealed to that basis common denominator and manipulated a whole generation with it.
And also manipulate by what they repudiate, what they hate.
Right. It's the same thing. That's what I'm saying. It's exactly the same thing. If you can be moved to dislike someone by the way they speak to you, that means that you can be moved to adore someone by the way they speak to you. So how you respond to the way a person speaks to you means you're a fool.
Well, that's what you're talking about when you say if you invest in it, it's the goods of a fool.
Yeah. All right. Now, a fool is someone that is non-spiritual from the economy of eternity.
They only go by their senses.
Right.
And that's why it's so bad to call somebody a fool.
Right. Now, if I say that is a Harry, that is an abbreviation for that physical object is named Harry. If I say that's Harry, that's an abbreviation for the longer sentence where that physical object, that hunk of protoplasm, is named. We have a universal agreement that we will name him Harry. If you hear that conspiracy, that agreement, when somebody says that's Harry, then you can't be misled. Can you stand a little bit?
It's another thing over there.
Well, and then the other part of language is that we can't possibly have experienced the names of everything. I mean, there's all kinds of things that you know the name of that you haven't physically experienced. They haven't come into your senses. But what happens is you have the ability to define it and see it in your mind, because your mind associates and says it's like something else. So it acquires, you can acquire, that process is called empathy as opposed to experience. Now, hear me. If you didn't have that capacity to name by association, you would have to live to be 100,000 years old in order to know the vanity of all things. So we have the two ways that we know vanity are experience and empathy. Empathy is where we can know something by association with something that we already know. Experience is that we have to physically do it. Now what our minds do, our minds hate this. I'll wager with every single one of you, there's something in your mind that's resisting understanding this. And the reason is that it exposes, what we're doing here now is exposing the manipulation of the mind. And you hate it. And so you resist. You tell yourself, I don't understand what he's talking about. But the only purpose of anything in time and space is to bring forth fruit necessary so that you can know repentance. That's the last thing your mind wants to do. That's why Ed has such a terrible time with this. Because his mind doesn't want to know repentance. His mind wants to know everything else but repentance. But maybe through this experience, it can free you to know by association. You don't have to become the principal of the school. You can empathize and know the vanity of it. Does everybody understand that? You know, otherwise, I'm serious, you'd have to live 100,000 years to know the vanity of all things.
Is that why God made a body?
Sure. We become a body because we can experience, you can experience part of what I've experienced, that you don't have to. But because you can empathize with it.
Yeah, there's a reason why he didn't do it with just Adam.
Yeah.
All right. I don't know if I understand this. But this whole thing could have taken place with one being. Right, Adam?
No. Adam only had to be the start. There always had to be, it's not good for man to be alone. Adam and Eve could have been a whole thing.
If they hadn't had language, they would have to be.
No, if they hadn't had language, they couldn't have accomplished the goal of God. Because they wouldn't have ever left innocence.
The angels had already fallen at that point.
Right. And the angels didn't have ever the capacity. That's why angels, sounds crazy, but the angels that you're studying would give their wings to look into what we are studying.
They don't have the capacity for what?
From what I'm studying, there was something between, all the angels surround God in the throne and they come out in different tiers, but there was something between God, and when God spoke to Moses, they didn't hear anything that Moses was told.
Right. They can't hear. That's another world. I don't want to get into that time. When we study angels, and you give a report, and we'll expand on it. All right. Now that which you have not sensed cannot be described to you, except in names of that which you've already sensed.
The association.
It's like describing raising kids. And you're trying to tell Sable about this or that. She's like, yeah?
Yeah, like right now, you're building steps. And we can't...
You don't know where I'm going.
Right, we can't get there without going through these steps, these associations, or else we can't.
What I'm trying to get to is with all teaching, is to show you that the vanity of all things, so that nothing will control you any longer. The biggest thing that's controlled you, other than your own physical bodies, has been language. Okay?
That's why it's so wild when you come here, because you can't, we do speak a different language.
Yeah.
You hear it. I mean, your ears have been tuned into this new thing.
Yeah, your ears have been circumcised, so you can hear.
Like, you look at French and German and the richness of those languages compared to English, and there's even a difference. And I know that...
You know why English is the worst language in history?
It's a dry and mathematical.
No. No, it's not that at all. English is the worst language in history because it has the most adjectives. Therefore, it is the least spiritual. It's more difficult to understand spirit being raised in English than any other language. We are farther, English, America, is farther from truth, farther from spirit, than any other people in the history of the world. English, trust me on this one, I've studied this one intently, English is the most useless language to describe spiritual things there is. It's the farthest from the revelation of Christ.
So what's the best, Hebrew?
Hebrew is by far the best. English is designed and constructed for to be controlled by the Antichrist.
It's why I was doing a customer today, and he's Jewish, and he says he speaks Hebrew, and so he went to Israel, and he was looking forward because he was going to get to speak Hebrew to people, and he said nobody wanted to speak Hebrew, that they said they wanted English. And he just, you know, he told me he was all excited, he couldn't wait to speak.
Yeah, most of them there don't speak, they don't speak Hebrew either, even if they speak Yiddish.
Okay, that was wild.
Yeah.
With what you're talking about tonight, how English is.
And like, English has become the standard of the world.
Yeah.
Why is the adjective, why is that?
Because it has too many adjectives of description.
Why?
Because the more adjectives you have to describe something, the longer it will take to experience the vanity of it. Think about it. That makes his brain hurt, I can tell.
No, then I just...
Okay, remember I talk a great deal about eternity and what life would be like in eternity and how it must be that it's finished and that with a state of existence without time, and you can't imagine it. The reason is you can't imagine that which is wholly unlike what you have sensed up to this point. The only thing names can do is revive forms of awareness. Names can never invent awareness. They can only revive forms of previously experienced awareness. That's why names are the greatest enemy of revelation. That's why, again, we talked in the past about silence in the temple, right? To really truly seek first the kingdom of God, you have to start with silence. Or you have to start with tongues, the language of tongues, so that it bypasses the imagery. Otherwise, you do these idiotic things like you literalize all the parables. You make heaven have streets of gold. What?
Sounds like something
like that. All right. The best experience we have is read on this phenomenon is we've talked about it 100 times, is Noah. It had never rained. God comes along, tells Noah it's going to rain for 40 days and 40 nights. And Noah says, what's rain?
Really?
And he says, he's far, far inland, away from anybody's water. And he says, build me an ark. He says, what's an ark? That is no different than what we talk of about a state of existence in which the perceptions are all that it's finished, and that eternity is our standard. So, in another example, when the children of Israel received food from heaven, they had no previous sensory perception of what that was. And they never heard of such a thing. They therefore called this new thing manna, the manna from heaven. Well, manna, the word manna, is the Hebrew word for what the fuck is it?
I remember the first time I heard that on tape a couple of years ago. I said to Max off the driveway, and I said, well, manna is, what the fuck is it? Then he said, I ran it back, and it's manna is, what the fuck is it? It just blew my mind.
The answer to what is it is the definition by likeness and difference. A description which would enable one to recognize the name. So they tried to do something with it. Well, it's like this, but it's not like that. And they didn't get anywhere because there's nothing in their experience to. What is it? That's still a plaintive cry. What is it?
It's meat quail.
But manna is what we are now fed with. If we could stop and see of what feeds our senses at this moment, and we could eat on that, just like with manna, it met every heart's desire, was fulfilled by eating the manna, unless there was idolatry or guilt. And then the manna was bitter. The same is true here. If you can partake of what you're given, eat on this, it will satisfy every heart's desire, unless you have internal guilt or bitterness or idolatry. Can you hear that?
And we see that same lesson over every day.
Now, the problem with words and names is the name becomes the graven image that's engraved on your mind, on the walls of your mind. The name, the word. It's useful for a time, but then what we're hopefully doing now is marring each of those graven images in your mind so that you can discard them, because now the temple is fully dedicated. The idols were useful for a time. They were useful until the temple was fully dedicated, and then all the idols and all the high places were discarded. And that's what we must do now with language.
So did Adam ever see that all that had to be, and then...
I believe he did. Now all names are substitutes for the original pointing. The definition of a name prepares one to recognize the name thing. But the final definition is pointing. This is the Bible.
The woman, she made me.
That's a Harry. But pointing, names replace pointing. When you begin teaching Paul names, you point to the object. And at the same time, pronounce the name, and you do it over and over like you're teaching a little dog.
It's a little counting book. Yeah.
You don't wait until the next day. You don't say, cup, and go clean up, and then come back and say, you don't point, and then come back an hour later and say, cup.
Yeah.
Okay, you must integrate at the same time the awareness of the name and the thing named. And that has to be integrated over and over by repetition in your mind. Otherwise you would not be able to be who you are today. The process of doing that is a societal conspiracy that has existed now for thousands of years. The process of doing that, the process of learning the name, is what the Bible calls being passed through the fires of Molech. Can you understand that?
Mm-hmm. in all five dimensions, like you said.
Yeah.
The emotional being
it's
key.
Five dimensions of each thing named. All right.
Now I see what you're talking about the emotional. It didn't make sense in Illinois.
Well, we're passing our values down by
name. By the name and by the emotional component, yeah.
The way we do it. Right. The way we give
importance to. So you're, the passing of those values.
Which may be different than hers.
But they're all, essentially though, there's a conspiracy, there's a commonality of idolatry which causes society. I mean, there's individual uniqueness within it, but there's fundamental basis of a common idolatry with regard to language. If that didn't occur, there couldn't be society.
Yeah, I was just sitting here as you said that. I was thinking of like, okay, so take a 14-year-old boy raised in Dallas, Texas, and place him into a boys' school in Boston, and he would stand out like a sore thumb. And something would have to happen. Either he'd have to leave, or he'd be there and be ostracized, or
be integrated.
He'd have to be integrated.
And do it in another country, and it's worse. But doing it another time,
right? So it's worse. Defined by, it's defined by geography, it's defined by time,
right. Almost five dimensions.
All of them. God.
Now, this is what I want to try to, this is what I'm about to say is really important. No name can be a substitute for itself as an original stimulus.
Run that by me one more time.
No name. What? No, remember, a name is just a substitute stimulus.
Okay.
Okay. No name can be a substitute for itself as the original stimulus.
Oh, the name can't be the name of the name.
Right. It can't be the thing itself. No name can be a substitute for itself as the original stimulus, except one, and that's the logos.
So when you get into the blame game, you know what I mean? When you blame something that was said or something that, you know, your reaction to something, that's essentially what you're saying is you can't, the thing that isn't exactly.
Isn't the thing named.
Isn't the thing named, yeah. So
right.
There's always something else.
Now, how many of you have studied, most of you have studied algebra, right? A little bit?
Hated it.
All right. In algebra, no letter can be its own value. All letters are a substitute for something else. No letter.
I'm doing it again. I don't understand.
Okay. No. All the letters in an algebraic equation, the letter is a substitute for something else. Okay. In algebra, no letter can be its own value.
A doesn't stand for A.
A doesn't stand for A.
I understand.
8 doesn't stand for 8, if you're...
So this relates to the previous statement, which was no name can be a substitute for itself?
Right.
Okay, now I understand that sentence too.
Okay.
Okay. Except...
Except the logos.
The logos. And wait a minute. So the logos is a name for something?
And it's the thing itself.
It's the real deal.
The word.
It's the only real thing. It's the only. In the beginning was the word.
The thing created.
It was both the created and the creator.
Oh, I'm sorry. Logos, L-O-G-O-S,
or
is a sound. It's a word. It's not the thing.
It is a thing.
It's Christ.
Why is it the thing? Why is it the thing any more than cup is the thing?
Because it is the. It's the name of itself, and it is its own name.
And so that you can understand it.
It is the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were created by the Word, and by the Word all things exist.
I understand that.
Okay, get your mind off the word logos, L-O-G-O-S.
Okay.
Use it in whatever language that you want to talk in.
Okay.
Whether it's Greek or Hebrew or the thing of that language that represents logos in English is the only thing that is itself, and it's its own name in and of itself. There's no root for it. There's no. It doesn't.
Because all things are in it.
Right.
And by it and of it.
All things exist.
If it could be in it.
Let me watch. Okay.
So is it? It's not time dependent.
Right. It's not time dependent, nor is it space dependent, nor is it value dependent.
Value or anything. That hurts. It's the only.
I read. Yeah,
the
but
only
here.
Constant?
Yeah. Right.
The
speed of light isn't constant. The right. Only constant in the universe is the logos.
The only independent thing, because it's the only, it's okay, the listen. Prime thing.
Right.
That's what scientists are trying to find.
Right.
Logos?
Logos.
That's
the original.
Okay.
Now watch. Giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from this power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, for by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him alone all things exist. Now, that's...
Does everybody agree anymore that Christ is? I mean, everybody has their definition of him.
Right, that's why you can't have a definition of him. Every definition that you have of him is an idol. Christ is what's left when everything you can think about is gone. That's why it's so difficult for those of you that were raised in a church that were given definitions of Christ and Christian. Because he violates every definition that you could have. Christ is what's left when everything that you can think about is gone.
So what you just did is you looked at a bunch of scratchings on a piece of paper and made the noises that correspond to those scratchings. And we all have agreed that those noises mean things, and those things strung together are an attempt to describe something that can't be contained in those words, because those words are contained in it.
Right.
And our minds can't contain it, because our minds are contained in it.
Right.
That's really wild.
So that's in capsules, like in universes or in capsules, in capsules within capsules, no capsule can contain itself.
Second law of thermodynamics.
Stated another way.
I'm real confused then about Christ, because are we learning what he is?
We're learning that as we see him, we shall be like him. And so what we're learning, slowly but surely, as we learn repentance, we're learning that he is all and in all, and he looks as different as everything that we can see.
This thing says that person is Sherry. What this thing is really saying is that person is not Christ.
Right.
And what we're doing is we are moment by moment, day by day, together, seeing through each one of those.
Right.
Are we seeing something by the very removing or the seeing through of something? We're seeing but not seeing.
Right. We're seeing through a glass darkly.
Yeah. Yeah.
You all know the parable of
only enough to make the leap.
Yeah.
Try and make.
You all know the parable of the judgment of the nations, and in Matthew 25, and it's, you know. Let me read it real quickly. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as the shepherd divideth his sheep from his goats, his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, and the goats on the left. And the king shall say unto them on his right hand, Come ye, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was a hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came unto me. And then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me. Then he shall say also to them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was a hungered, and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you took me not in. I was naked, and you clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and you visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it not to one of the least of these, you did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteousness unto life eternal. What we're doing here is trying to cause you to be able to see that parable without the prejudice.
So by giving somebody a way to get out of something, or giving them a way to figure something out, you're actually starving them, or you're actually, well, maybe not.
No, don't take that leap.
Right. When you just read that, I'm reminded of at the end of a hot seat. I felt like I could see that taking place, and you know, the division of the left and the right, and that God was saying to me that he was allowing me to be over here, but what placed over there is that thing that was called Herod.
Amen.
That
Amen.
Beast.
One more thought about thought that I want you to take home with you, okay? And then we'll quit. Focus. Thought is imperfect imagery of names in sequence. It tends to produce speech. As we've said so often, without the slight movement of the muscles in your throat, you cannot think. And it's easily measurable. When you think the words, your muscles form those words in your voice box. Now, this is critical, because thought, therefore, is silent speech, and therefore it is reality. Whatsoever you say, words or thought will be done for you by my Father which is in heaven. Now, think about that.
Think about what you do.
Now, Christ said, if you think it, you've done it. That's why it's so important not to let your thought process stop at a desired imagery, because then you become the God of your universe and you are moving your thoughts around like puppets in order to come to some desired place that's an acceptable universe for you. You know from your own experience, from your own empathy, what the fruit of those thoughts are. And so you must bring that thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ and let that thought go all the way to vanity. Otherwise, your thoughts are what you do. In other words, this is hard for you to understand, but when you think about, I mean, many times I can feel it when you're killing me in your mind, especially with Harry and some others. I mean, as Harry knows, I know it when it's happening. Because God has cursed me with, it's not reading minds, that's not what it is. It's a sensitivity to this reality that you are creating by your thoughts, that somehow he's allowed me to feel it, the fruit of it.
But it feels like it's actually happening.
It does.
It is.
It's kind of what Crystal said, if you take it all the way and see what it really is, what you're really doing.
Right. And then you can have, then vanity, then you can see it as vanity, then you can repent, then you can abandon it.
It's almost like the end of what you were talking about, you know, criticizing the school. It's like where you're stopping yourself is seeing yourself as solving all the problems. You know, I mean, essentially, if you thought it all the way through, you know, if he's doing it wrong and you have good ideas and you push these ideas through, you would solve all the problems. But if that's true, then you have to see it. I mean, you have to do it. Because it's like that. There's a difference. There's a, you know, what's really going on. I mean, you know, just because you see, you know, you hear the hero, it doesn't count.
It's like the Chinese proverb: "Nothing is impossible to the man who has to do nothing."
Yeah, exactly.
Let me give you a. let me see if you can think about something a minute. If you're watching a wave. What if you look into the ocean and you see a wave? You see as the way you see the wave as an event, right? If you leave the ocean and go to the mountains and you look at a mountain and you see the mountain as an object, if you could visualize yourself out of time, you would see both as events. Now, the only reason that's important is to see that your judgments about something that you look at are all, by definition, biased, first by the passage of time, second by the fires of Molech of your own experience. Take it, big guy. Think about this.